My name is Diane Narum, and I'm a researcher in the Department of Horticulture at the University of Minnesota. Today I'm presenting the poster Host-Plant Relationships Between Native Lepidoptera and Three Native Grasses. So the use of native grasses in landscaping and gardening is on the rise. This is for numerous reasons, one being that homeowners and businesses are more interested in planting sustainable landscapes, landscapes that benefit wildlife, including pollinators, and landscapes that benefit the environment around them. Native grasses are not only aesthetically pleasing, but they're low-maintenance landscape plants rarely needing fertilization or watering after establishment. They provide multiple benefits to the environment, minimizing soil erosion and increasing organic matter. They also provide habitat for birds, native bees, and the focus of the poster today, they are larval food for certain species of Lepidoptera. So Lepidoptera is the order that contains butterflies and moths. And if you think back to the Lepidoptera life cycle during the larval stage, which is between the egg and the pupa stage, most species are herbivorous. So some species have evolved to eat grasses and sedges during their larval life stage. My advisor, Mary Meyer, who's a researcher in the Department of Horticulture at the U of M as well, and I conducted a literature review on native prairie grasses and their use as host plants by native Lepidoptera species. We reviewed records which identified these grasses as host plants in the upper Midwest region, North Dakota, which includes North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Illinois. Only records that identified host plants to species were included and identified native Lepidoptera that occurred in the upper Midwest region as we defined it. So this poster highlights three of the native prairie grasses we found that are commonly used in the horticultural trade. Little Bluestem, or Schizocarium scoparium, Blue Grandma, or Boudalua gracilis, and Big Bluestem, Andropogon gerardii. So which kinds of Lepidoptera use graminoids? Well, in the butterflies, the species come from two subfamilies, the grass skippers, which is the subfamily Hesperinae, in the family Hesperidae, and the satyrs, or the browns, which is the subfamily Satyridae, in the family Nymphalidae. In the moths, the species came from numerous different subfamilies, the Arctinae subfamily, Cosmopterygonae, Anomalogonae, and the Noctuinae family. The Noctuinae family contains generalists, and so these are often the pest species. So in the grass skippers, all the larvae eat grasses and or sedges, and almost all larvae build shelters during their larval stage, which they will reside in until they pupate. Shelter and larval habits are unique for each species. They fly at different times of the year. They build different kinds of shelters, but most of them overwinter as larvae within the grasses. As adults, they have short bodies, and that allows them to fly in bursts, giving them the appearance that they're skipping across the landscape, hence the name skippers. Most larvae in the Satyrinae family eat grasses or sedges, not all of them. All of the larvae eat some kind of monocotyledon. The larvae do not make shelters. Instead, they feed in the open, camouflaged from predators, and often they feed at night. They pupate in silked leaf nests under rocks or partly underground, and the adults have a hopping flight pattern and mostly feed on sap instead of nectar. So I've gone over some of the ways that Lepidoptera use native grasses. Let's talk about a few more. Adults will oviposit directly onto native grasses, although some graminoid-feeding butterflies show indiscriminate oviposition, in which they lay their eggs indiscriminately throughout the landscape. It's hypothesized that this behavior comes from the fact that grasses occur at high frequencies or high densities in the landscape, and so the adults don't need to lay their egg directly onto the host plant to ensure that the larva will find a host plant once it's hatched. So I talked about how the skippers use the grasses for shelter, and a little bit how the satyrinae use the grasses for shelter. They feed out in the open camouflage, but then they do sometimes hide in the bases of native grasses, and then often overwinter as larvae in those grasses. There's multiple ways that Lepidoptera feed on native grasses. They can feed from shelters if they're the shelter-building type of species, cutting off grass blades from within the shelter and pulling them in, or leaving the shelter at night to forage. They can feed camouflaged in the open. There's some species of moth that feed by leaf mining, so they have to actually feed within the leaf. Other species of moths bore into the stem of grasses or roots and feed concealed inside the plant. And then others feed only on the seeds of grasses. So it's important to note that many graminoid-feeding butterflies eat more than one species of grass, but may prefer only one or two species to build their shelters. Some species of skippers prefer the bunch grasses because of the closely pressed stems that make it easier to weave the stems together into a shelter. So it's likely that some Lepidoptera species feed on more graminoid species than what is listed in the literature. So with that caveat, let's start talking about the three grasses that we are highlighting today. The first one is little bluestem, or Schizicarium scoparium. This is a warm season grass. It gets 2 to 4 feet tall. It has a very upright shape and a beautiful fall color, turning purplish or reddish in the fall. It's also a fairly drought-tolerant grass. It was found to be used by the most Lepidoptera species, 15 in total in the region. Most of these species are skipper species and includes many rare species, such as the Leonard skipper and federally threatened species, the Dakota skipper, and a federally endangered species, the Powsheik skipperling. There's also one species of in the Saturnae that feed on this, the common wood nymph, and then there's two moths, Cosmopterus calichelka and Stereomedo andropogonus. Moving on to blue grama, this is another warm season grass. It grows 8 to 24 inches tall. It has an irregular shape, forming more of a mound and spreading out its leaves farther. It's a self-seeder, and it's foot traffic and drought tolerant. It has interesting flowers or seed heads. The shape has been described as a grasshopper shape or even as an eyebrow or mustache. Blue grama was found to be used by 13 different species. Again, most of them skippers. In the Saturnae family, the Meade's wood nymph was found to use blue grama and the Riding Satyr. There's also one moth species, the Blake's tiger moth, or Grammei blakeyi. Big bluestem is the third grass, and it's another warm season. This is a larger grass growing 4 to 8 feet tall. It also has a purplish or golden hue in the fall time, providing nice fall color in a garden. Big bluestem is found to be used by 11 species. Mostly skippers, once again. The federally threatened species, the Dakota skipper, was found on this list as well. There are two moth species found to feed on little bluestem, the wheathead armyworm and the Newman's borer. And the wheathead armyworm has been found to be an occasional pest on wheat. So it's important to note that not all moths are pests. Although the last one I mentioned was a pest, the other ones on these lists have not found to be pests. In general, there's less information in the literature about moths. There were an additional 46 moth species that ate grasses or were suspected of eating grasses in the region that could not be included in this list because individual larval host plant species were unknown. So that demonstrates the need for further research in this area. So this information can assist horticulturalists, ecologists, landscape planners, land managers, and homeowners in their decisions to buy and plant native grass species. This information is new to many horticulturalists and consumers. And for those consumers that are concerned about pollinators and want to know how to make the best pollinator gardens, this information might be new and helpful to them. Lepidoptera are incidental pollinators. They're not as efficient in their pollination as bees, but and other pollinators, but they are important pollinators in grassland ecosystems. So this knowledge provides increased awareness about the larval life stage of butterflies and moths to concerned citizens and green industry, and further supports the importance of conserving native prairie to maintain Lepidoptera. With that, I would like to thank the Minnesota Department of Ag Specialty Crop Block Grant Program for the funding for this project. And thank my advisor, Mary Meyer, for her help and guidance. And I'd like to thank you for listening to this presentation today.